Hello, let's twist again like we did last week and the 30 odd weeks before that. This is the Not the Top 20 podcast betting show. It's the sound of the start of your weekend and it's sponsored by Betfair. And because we will be talking about betting and making betting picks ahead of the weekend, this is very strictly for over 18s only, and we ask that everyone listening be gamble aware. Betting comes with significant risks, and it's important that you understand what they are. Head to begambleaware.org for more information. I'm Ali Maxwell. I'm sitting next to my friend and colleague, George Ellick. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I've got a bad back. I'm fine apart from that.
Would you rather have a sort of cold or flu-like illness for the ninth time in 2 months, or a bad back?
Ideally, neither.
Not an option.
I would say, I'd rather be ill, because I think with an illness, you know, you're coming out there at the other end. At the moment, I have no idea what's wrong with my back, and that's not a very nice position to be in.
There'd be some bits of content, there'd be some podcasts, there'd be some content creators for whom that sort of intro would be an elaborate setup to say something like, because he's been carrying the betting show for the last month, he's got a bad back.
Yeah.
And that's true to an extent, but we had quite a weird week last week, George, where we both managed to make some profit, 3 points in my case, 2.5 in your case, despite the fact that both of our naps lost. The good news is, right?
My nap didn't lose. Thank you.
I've done the maths wrong there, haven't I? Right. Well, that changes everything.
4.5 points.
Push, is it?
Yeah.
George, 4.5 points up for the week.
Thank you.
Ali, 3 points up for the week. I want to get to the point, George, where I say your QPR draw no bet long shot win at Leicester at 13-2 is, in my humble opinion, the pick of the season.
Thank you very much. It was a good one. Did I forget to back it? Let's not talk about it. But I thought I'd backed it before we recorded on Thursday, so I didn't back on Saturday, and it turned out I just never did it. But I don't care, because I hope other people did, and certainly for various anti-post positions in the Championship, Leicester dropping points was no bad thing.
My crew nap, I mean, it is objectively funny. They were 2-0 up and cruising against Morecambe, and they conceded 3 goals in 50 minutes.
They were
3-2. They were cruising. Okay. We've already done that gag this week on the Monday pod.
Yeah, you did it.
And I think I'm able to smile about that, because thankfully Walsall got up my next best at even money against Donny and the Velociraptor. He eventually scored against Sutton with his 7th shot in the game for a 4-1 winner. Macaulay Langstaff, 2 or more and hat-trick. I was excited about that long shot, but the pitch didn't play ball and that game was postponed. So that was a push. Lincoln draw, no bet was your nap. That was a draw. So no bet, please. MK did not beat Wimbledon and Joe Tomlinson didn't score. But that QPR draw, no bet against Leicester, 13-2 winner. One of the highlights of the season, I reckon. I also got all three of my BTTS picks up as well. You got none out of three, I'm afraid. So 3 out of 6 overall.
It's nice for that to be a reverse for once.
What's your best bet this week, George? What's your nap?
I'm napping Bradford to beat Accrington away from home at 6-5. Now, this is quite weird, because what I'm about to say, when you look at the league table, might not make much sense. But in my mind, for one team, there is a lot riding on this, and for one, not so much. Even though, when you look at the league table, they're separated by one place and 1 point. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a great belief within the Accrington Stanley ranks that there is any hope of a playoff charge from here. Mm-hmm. I think their current form, they've lost 3 games in a row, they're winless in 4. This is the week that we've seen them part company with legendary manager John Coleman and appoint John Doolan, his first team coach, as interim manager. Off the back of an appalling run of form, an appalling run of performances, most importantly, where if you look at the underlying numbers from the beginning of the season, of January until now, so this calendar year, I think their XG ratio is either the worst or in the bottom three in the whole league. So the performances have taken a real dive, and that has meant that they're part of company with their manager. I think this is a case now where the season will fizzle out to an extent till the end of it. I'm sure there'll be Accrington fans disagreeing with this, saying, no, if we can put a couple of games, a couple of wins together. But realistically, when the performance levels are as poor as they are, it seems unlikely. Bradford, on the other hand, even though they're only one place above Accrington in the table, have played a game fewer. If they were to win that, they'd be up on 11th. And I think they have got a genuine chance of getting into the playoffs if they can put a run of form together. And for them, that seems much less pie in the sky. I think when you look again at the same 2024 expected goals ratio table. They are in the top six. Their performances have generally been pretty good recently, even if the results haven't been great. But they are unbeaten dating back to the end of January. And in that time, they went to Wrexham and they beat them 1-0 in their last away game. And they've had three consecutive home games since, winning two of them and drawing one against Bradford last time out. They're generally playing very well. I think they're in a decent spot right now, and they've got plenty about them to see off Accrington here. So even though there's only one place between them, I think when you look at the performances of the two sides over the last 8 to 10 weeks, Bradford have been one of the best teams in the league and Accrington one of the worst. And therefore, I'm pretty happy to side with the better team of the two, who in my mind have more to play for than their opposition, who are soul-searching a little bit after the departure of someone in Coleman, who I think most people are in agreement that the best thing going for Accrington Stanley, both in the short term but also for the last decade or so, has been John Coleman.
Yeah. My naps in League One, it's Bolton. And over 1.5 goals at 6-4, 2.5 with the Betfair Sportsbook. They are away at Exeter City. The context for Bolton is Tuesday night. Huge game it was against Barnsley. It was a breathless match and a 2-2 draw from behind. They were 2-0 down in the first half. They got Barnes' lead a bit. They conceded from an error at the back, bit of sloppy play. And then a kind of scrappy set piece was stabbed home. And that was another disappointing start to a game. But they absolutely hammered Barnsley in the second half. 16 shots without reply. 8 big chances per FOTMOB. They eventually got level with a rebound from a penalty. They scored a tap-in after a really nice move. Classic Bolton attack and goal. And they missed a ton of other chances as well. And there's kind of different narratives around at the moment, I think, about Bolton. I think within their fan base there's a frustration at what's not been a vintage 2024 so far. They've won 3 of their last 9 with 4 draws and 2 defeats. But the defeats were against Blackpool and Wigan, two local rivals to an extent. And I think that's going to hurt more so than other defeats. I'm here to say that I'm generally still very impressed with their general level of play. I'm really impressed with their attacking play. And I still believe, as I have done for the whole season, that they're an excellent team. So I want to get with them here. Even though it's not been an incredible 2024 so far, it's not like they've been floundering. And they're still the second best team in the league per the league table, averaging 1.94 points per game over the entirety of the campaign. So I guess my stance is that they're playing well, particularly going forward. I think they are creating a lot of chances with some excellent attacking play. And I think that will be reflected in results over the next few weeks. And I think it starts here. At this game, the reverse fixture was 7-0 to Bolton. And two ways of looking at it, really. There'd be one school of thought, which is that Exeter at home against a team that beat them 7-0 in the first part of the season. Pride will play a big part, revenge, etc. Having been embarrassed, I think I'd probably lean towards the stronger theme being, I don't think they have what it takes to hang with Bolton. I think there's just a massive gap in quality between these two teams. And I don't know if Exeter have the answers if Bolton are playing at their best. I think someone is going to concede 4 or 5 to Bolton in the next couple of games. So I'm adding the over 1.5 as a way of kind of reflecting that and just making the price a little bit more attractive than the 20-23 win price. So that's Bolton and over 1.5 goals at Exeter. 6-4, 2.5. Next best.
If it ain't broke, although you tried to break it, don't fix it.
DN
second
broke.
Time in like a month. I've kind of wondered if that's what I'm saying when I say it. Anyway, Lincoln draw no bet at Barnsley at 15-8. You mentioned that Bolton-Barnsley game. Number one, I think that's going to have taken absolutely loads out of Barnsley, mm-hmm. because they were 2-0 up after 47 minutes in a pretty tight game where I don't think anyone could have said that Barnsley weren't value for their lead. But that second half was one of the biggest onslaughts I've seen in an EFL game in a long time, where Bolton just wiped the floor with Barnsley. I think the expected goals value was 3.81 at the end. And that's accounting for, that's not doubling up the missed penalty in the goal afterwards as well. That's, accounting for that. Like Bolton were rampant. And it was only Liam Robertson goal for Barnsley that kept the score as it was. He put in an unbelievable effort. And this isn't to necessarily be overly negative about Barnsley, because, as I said, up until 2-0, they were value for their lead. But I think coming under the kind of pressure they came under, whilst also then conceding the way they did with Roberts saving the penalty and Barnsley basically not being alert at all to the rebound for Randall Williams to get there first and to prod home after Sheehan missed the penalty, will take a lot out of them both physically and also mentally, where if Barnsley win that game of football, their chances of getting automatically promoted are vastly different to conceding later on against Bolton and Bolton kind of ensuring they didn't lose any ground to Barnsley. I've had some concerns about Barnsley anyway and the sustainability of their run. Like, I know you're a big fan of their attacking play, and there's no denying that in terms of individuals they've got some quality talent, but maybe this was it going the other way a little bit, where they couldn't continue to pick up points in games where they weren't a long way clear of their opposition. And the thing is, whilst their attacking play is generally very good, they're coming up against the Lincoln side, who, as I keep saying in this show, look to me to be one of the best defensive teams in the EFL right now. Like, I cannot remember many teams so consistently and comfortably preventing the opposition from creating any chances or scoring any goals. They've only conceded 2 goals, it is, since they lost 2-0 to Blackpool on New Year's Day. So that's dating back 2 months and nearly 10 games. I think it is 10 games. And it's sustainable. Like, you even look at the 0-0 draw against Stevenage, which I put up, draw no bet. And again, they only conceded an XG of under 1. I think they've conceded XG of under 1 in every single game in that time. So I think they will easily be able to they'll go much further in nullifying the threat of Barnsley than we've seen most teams carry out. And if that's the case, I think any time, it's kind of similar to what I said about QPR last week in the Leicester game, where, yes, Leicester are a good attacking side, but if you believe that the defensive team have the tools and the capability to nullify that threat, and suddenly heavy odds against when you think it's going to be a low-scoring game becomes incredibly appealing, because a solitary goal might be enough to at least get you your money back and get a push. Mm. So 15-8 about Lincoln taking out the draw when 0-0 and 1 all seem like huge runners here seems like a value way to play this.
The only thing I'm surprised about is that it wasn't nap material, only because two of your big stances, for anyone that's listened to either of our shows over the last few weeks, have been pro-Lincoln and somewhat anti-Barnsley. So good to see that reflected in the next best. My next best is also in League One, and it's Leighton Orient to beat Wigan at 2.45 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Wigan at home in particular are having this kind of interesting identity issue, and it's causing interesting discussion, some problems and disagreements among the fan base. Sean Maloney is feeling it as well and has started to address it in his post-match as well. It's the sort of thing that we see a fair bit across the EFL, and that is a team and a manager who are trying to play a possession-based style, and in doing so are playing with quite a low tempo and not scoring a lot of goals with it, therefore not being incredibly effective as an attacking team with it, and match-going fans just finding it quite boring, finding it tough to watch, not necessarily believing in the kind of the journey or the process, the idea that if you keep developing this and you keep drilling it and you, over the course of a few windows, recruit to it, then you end up with a team that's very comfortable and ready to sort of dominate matches and towards the top end of the division. I think a big aspect of this is, for once, Wigan fans haven't had a huge amount else to talk about this season. They went into it having had a traumatic few years, always seemingly battling relegation, points deductions, administration, ownership issues, and then the occasional promotion as well from League One to the Championship. And because they've been broadly fine this season, they wiped out that points deduction very quickly. There just hasn't been that much else to talk about. They're very, very safe from relegation, and they're not going to win promotion this season. So I think it's an interesting kind of identity discussion at the moment within Wigan. Looking at the metrics on Opta Analyst, like, their build-up is basically the slowest in the whole league. They haven't created a lot of chances, a lot of XG from open play this season. They don't press at all. They are bottom of Opta's pressing numbers in terms of PPDA and turnover. So I kind of have some sympathy that what the fans feel is that they're not seeing particularly exciting football. And the important thing with the pick is that I think Richie Wellens will be very comfortable in this scenario. I think he will be very clear on what the game plan should be. And I think he's proven himself this season, and in particular in the last few months, to be very adaptable. Some would use the word pragmatic in football to mean defensive. It's kind of, I think, for some people, become a proxy for defence-first football. And I personally don't think that's a good definition. I don't think it reflects the actual definition of the word pragmatic, which is to deal with things sensibly and realistically in a way that's based on practical rather than theoretical considerations. I can see why it gets used to mean defensive. And in some instances, playing more defensively is pragmatic. But for me, it's more about being adaptable to different situations and different opposition. And that could be being really attacking or really ball dominant in certain games. Mark Robbins springs to mind as a really pragmatic manager, Carlos Corberan as well. But I think Wellens in League One is standing out at the moment. Orient have won 9 of their last 14 games in the league, including beating 5 top half teams in that time. So not exactly flat track bullies by any means. And I think they're better than Wigan, and I think it's a good matchup tactically, and I think they'll win. 2.45 is the price with the Betfair Sportsbook. Who's your goal scorer this week?
Bit of a wild card goal scorer for me this week. Again, I'm doing this thing where I'm not... there's a question mark if he's definitely going to start. But I think after the performance that Adil Aouchichi put in when coming off the bench after an hour against Leicester, I'd be very surprised if he didn't start. And if he does start, the 11-2 about him to score any time for Sunderland away at Southampton is just like, has to be wrong. This is, again, comes into my favourite way of looking at these markets where Sunderland are 11-2 to win the game with the Betfair Sportsbook at Southampton. That's completely fair enough. Like, I think Southampton are a rightful favourite, Sunderland in a really poor spot of form. But we know that Southampton are not the best defensively. And if you look at their home games recently, we have games... BTTS has copped in their last 3. We had the 5-3 against Huddersfield. They've lost their last 2 home games, conceding twice against Hull and against Millwall. Like, defensively, they are not... certainly not as good as they were during that incredible run they had. And Sunderland themselves should get chances, especially given, you know, Sunderland, for all of their poor form at the moment, are really struggling to score. But they are creating a little bit, certainly in their last 2 games against Norwich and against Leicester. They were unlucky not to get on the score sheet. And whilst Leicester were pretty poor in the first half against... Sorry, Sunderland were pretty poor in the first half against Leicester, they probably came away feeling like they deserved a point. Not only were they... robbed, I would say, of a penalty when Ballard went through and Choudhury kind of both pulled him back and they tangled legs as Ballard went down, pretty theatrically, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure how you could argue that what Choudhury was doing didn't deserve a penalty. But also, just in the last half an hour, they piled on the pressure, and Aouchichi was a massive part of that. He had 5 shots in the half an hour that he was on the pitch. If you look at his goal scoring attempts this season, he scored 1 goal, but from an expected goals of nearly 3, so he's massively underperforming his expected goals. And I think the goals will come as well, especially with Jack Clark currently unavailable for Sunderland. It means they are lacking that focal point in an attack. And if Aouchichi does start, I do, and you know, if he doesn't start, he'll come off the bench, and even then he'll have a big role to play in this. So yeah, I think at 11-2 he's arguably Sunderland's biggest goal threat when he plays, I would say, without Clark in the team. Certainly one of their most shot-heavy players, and in a game where they may not have a great chance of winning, but certainly they've got to fancy themselves against the Russell Martin side to create. I think he's one of the best price bets, goal scorer bets I've had this season.
Unleash Aouchichi.
Mm.
That's what
it's
I'd
a fun
do.
Name to say, isn't it?
It is a fun name. You're adding a little zhuzh at the end of it, which wouldn't really exist. But
have you not seen the accent at the end of his name?
Come on.
It's not there.
That's fake news.
Yeah, I know.
And I hate that for you.
That's what did I say?
Well, you're just toying with me and the listener, and I don't like it. Have you heard of a League 2 player called Rob Apter?
Didn't we have a rule of how many times you can pick someone?
I think I've got a loose rule of how many times I can pick something in a row
when it's losing.
Without it winning.
Okay, fine.
But my goal scorer pick this week is Rob Apter to score any time for Tranmere against Gillingham at 6-1. 6-1.
This is madness.
And a quarter of a point on him to score 2 or more at 70-1 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Last week I said that 4-1 to score against Sutton leapt off the page. He scored for me at that price. He took 7 shots, 5 of them were on target. As discussed, not all of these shots are high probability efforts, but they are attempts at goal very, very consistently. His shot count in the last 8 games is 3-4-2, 4-4-5-3-7. He's Tranmere's number one goal threat. And yes, the extended price reflects the fact that they are a long price to win the game away at a Gills team who are a very tough nut to crack and who do keep a lot of clean sheets. And maybe that alone makes this bet silly, but that's not how I see it at all. Gills occasionally chuck in a poor performance. They did so in midweek, losing to Barrow. And basically, regardless of opponent, at League 2 level, Apter is finding it very easy to find space, to receive the ball, to carry it forward and get shots off with either foot. And I can't ignore the 6-1. I'm going to have a tickle at 2 or more at 70-1 as well, just in case he gets one early and goes uber confident. If he has 7 more shots like he did last week, I'd be pretty excited about being on the two or more at 70-1. So it's 0.75 at 6-1 and 0.25 at 70-1. What's your long shot?
Long shot is Fleetwood Town to beat Stevenage away from home.
It's just absolute stance special, this, isn't it? Just all your big stances at the moment made flesh.
It was 5-1 when I did my notes, but it's now 9-2, which is a shame.
Should have got to the office earlier.
Yeah, I've already. This is my fifth podcast today. This is all about purely about Fleetwood Town. I have no issue whatsoever with Stevenage. I don't think they are playing poorly. I think they're probably going to finish in the top six. I think they're going to be a very awkward opposition for anybody in the top six. I think they're a really good side, and yeah, I can't really make a case for why they would necessarily struggle due to any form reasons, effectively, albeit. They've won two of their last five and certainly struggling a little bit for goals, having scored just two in their last four. This is all Fleetwood. And finally, Fleetwood's improved performances yielded points when they beat Wigan Athletic 4-2 last time out. They came back from 2-1 down to score three times, and they were good value for that. And it's the least they've deserved, especially given what happened. They scored twice late against Port Vale. They have built up a bit of a head of steam, and in my mind, at least, survival isn't off the table here. I know they're 9 on for relegation with the Betfair Sportsbook, but I still think there's a fair chance that they could survive if they're able to maintain this level of performance. And Charlie Adams deserves huge credit for that, in my mind. I think he's completely turned around their fortunes. I would say, I kind of think if Charlie Adams...
If he keeps Fleetwood up, it would be one of the best things of the season. Nope. You've already said that about Daryl Clark, mate. So
I was going to say.
You're going to crowd yourself out.
What I was going to say is I think if Charlie Adams wasn't Charlie Adams and was called Charlie Allen and wasn't an ex-pro who we remember putting in incredible corners, who Ferguson said he was worth 10 points, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I think I'd be getting incredibly excited about this young guy. In the same way we're talking about Cifuentes and Royal, I'd be like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who's come into one of the worst teams in the EFL and immediately made them a far better team. But I'm kind of reticent to do that because I'm like, well, it's Charlie Adams. So is he going to be a good manager? I don't know. That's perception rather than reality. I think he's doing an incredible job there.
I think also reason people aren't talking about him yet is that for all that we think that they've been playing a lot better, they didn't win a game until last week for the first time in ages. So
in five games.
Yeah, in five. So you can see why people aren't going hold on, what's going on on the northwest coast? He's cooking.
Yeah, but Royal and Defensa's early results weren't that incredible.
Yeah, and the mainstream media weren't going these guys are amazing.
But we were. Basically, what I'm saying is I don't understand why you aren't getting excited about Charlie Adams.
So you don't listen to the pod. I basically think that if... spoke about Fleetwood for longer than any other team.
I think that if he was called Charlie Allen, you wouldn't be so... I just think that they are playing pretty well right now. And, if you were to start the League One season now, I think I'd probably have them as a mid-table side. So if they were in mid-table side, if they were, for example, I don't know, Wickham, then they wouldn't be 9-2, don't think. So, and that's kind of the level I've got them on right now.
Right. So my long shot is correct score, Blackburn 0, Plymouth 1. 14-1. Plymouth and Blackburn are 16th and 17th in the Championship. Now, normally with 10 games to go, that would hint at a starting to think about trips to the beach, starting to think of, in Plymouth's case, what would be a job well done if they were to survive, having won promotion last year. In Blackburn's case, feeling a little disappointed that you dropped off after a strong start, but, we go again next season. Not the case. Because they are part of a group of teams that have some of the squeakiest bums that we will have seen in a Championship relegation battle on account of the incredible form of Sheffield Wednesday, 4 wins in a row, still second bottom. QPR, unbeaten in 4 with 3 wins, have jumped out the relegation zone. Millwall, 2 wins and a draw in their last 3. Huddersfield, 1-2 in 4 before losing in midweek. The point is, it's all tightened up a bit. And so you have Argyle and Blackburn sitting on 40 points each, 2 points from safety. Millwall also on 40, QPR on 39, Birmingham on 39, Huddersfield on 38, and then the bottom three of Stoke and Sheffield Wednesday, both on 38, and Rotherham on 19. So it's very, very close. There is, as you can imagine, a lot of panic in both of these fan bases. Blackburn have won 1 of their last 8, Argyle have won 2 of their last 8, but they've lost 5. And I want to focus on Argyle because I'm backing them and I want to explain why. I understand the fear. I understand the feeling that you are sliding, that the relegation zone is getting closer and closer. They've lost four of their last five of their last seven. I understand, therefore, why people are looking at the most obvious thing, and that is the new manager, Ian Foster, and saying he's been a bad appointment. I also personally just think it's too dramatic and too strong, too over the top. I think there's too much looking back and comparing him unfavourably to Stephen Schumacher at this time, because we remember the good times under Schumacher. We remember, even if we just focus on this season, loads of great goals from Morgan Whittaker, lots of goals on the counter-attack, some exciting open football, and Foster has been trying to make things a little tighter at the back. I think we should look at the fixture list here. They've lost to West Brom, Leeds and Ipswich, and they've been dominated and beaten well by all three of those. That's no shame in that. In fact, they lost all of those games against Schumacher as well in the first part of the season. They drew against Coventry, which I think has to be seen as a pretty good result. They lost away at Sunderland, which I don't think can be seen as a disgraceful result for Argyle. And they got a massive win against Middlesbrough with one of the best performances of any team in the Championship this season away from home. The worst one, the only bad one really, is a 1-0 defeat at Wednesday in midweek. A Wednesday team who have now won 10 out of 18 games, comfortably top 10 form in that game. A 1-0 win where, yeah, it was deserved. Wednesday were the better team, I won't argue that. But it wasn't some like horrendous mismatch. So for me, I think it's just gone over the top with Argyle. I think there's clues in the fixture list as to why their form is poor. And I understand why you would feel concerned about it, but I just think the way this match is priced up is kind of nuts, with Rovers being odds on to win, even though their poor form is almost just as bad and has been going on for longer than Argyle's. I don't understand why Argyle would be better than 3-1 to win. Rovers have drawn 5 of 6 against much poorer opposition than the ones I've just talked about with Argyle. As for the 1-0 scoreline, I'm just predicting a nervous game all round. Like, both teams have got much less attacking than earlier in the season under Foster and Eustace than under Schumacher and Thomason. And I just see it being quite an ugly game. So one moment of quality to win it. Of course, it could be Sammy Smodic, first player in the Championship to hit 20 goals this season, still scoring despite the poor form. But I think I'd rather be on the side of Morgan Whittaker and Ryan Hardy, who have both shown this season that they can score goals from nothing as well. So that's my reasoning. 1-0 Plymouth Argyle at Blackburn is my 14-1 long shot. George, our BTTS sixfold this week is at better than 37-1. 38.14 the decimal. And I know that my picks don't have a particularly chunky price in them, which means there must be quite a chunky price in yours.
Should I start with the chunky price?
Yes, please.
I cannot.
I need to hear why.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Norwich Rotherham BTTS is 11-8.
That is chunky, to be fair.
Like, I don't understand. Like, we saw Rotherham, you know, I'm not sitting here saying Rotherham are any good. You know, they've lost 8 games in a row. They're winless in 12. However, like, if you look at their recent away games, yes, they were beaten 5-0 by Coventry midweek. They weren't without their chances in that game. It wasn't like it was a complete shutout. Before that, they went to QPR, one of the best defences in the whole league under Martí Cifuentes, and they scored in that game, taking the lead early. They scored 3 at Portman Road in the game before that. They scored in the 2-1 defeat against Hull prior to that. We've seen them score at Middlesbrough this calendar year in January in a 1-1 draw. We've seen them score twice at Blackburn on New Year's Day. You know, when you look at the away form over the whole season, like, yes, they have only picked up 4 points, but that it's not that they're not scoring goals. And I think Liam Richardson's actually improved them. And we know that Norwich are a side who generally attract goals this season. It's been the case fairly regularly. When you look at their games at home, they've won. We've got a 4-2 against Watford, a 4-1 against Cardiff, you know, the 3-1 against Sheffield Wednesday, a 3-1 against Millwall. Yes, there have been a few wins to Lille in there too, but this is being priced up as if, like, it's a, you know, as if it's already a given that Norwich are going to win this game 2-0. And I think Norwich will win it, but I definitely can't understand why it's 11-8 for BTTS, and why there's a perception that, you know, Rotherham are without hope from an attacking standpoint, especially with Norwich having played midweek with 10 men for the most part and conceding 3 goals. So yeah, I don't really get that at all. Southampton Sunderland's my second one, which, for reasons I've already mentioned, I think Sunderland should fancy their chances to at least create something against Saints, even if they do get beat. And then Forest Green Walsall's the third. Forest Green, this is just a huge game for them, basically. I think Walsall are a quality side, but Forest Green have to find some means of picking up 3 points. Draws are not good enough for them, and that should lead to a more open game than maybe the perception would be under Steve Cotterill.
I don't like your picks.
You love them.
I really thought you were going to react quite angry there, and I was excited about that.
No, you love them.
I was trying to toy with you.
I hate your first pick.
You are untoyable with.
Yes.
Good English. My first pick, BTTSES, is in Oxford against Cheltenham. I think Oxford are a very poor defensive team at the moment. I think they look vulnerable. They look like they're lacking confidence. They've been given away too many sloppy goals, and I think that Cheltenham can make that painful for them with their style of attacking. However, Oxford have still shown themselves to be capable of scoring goals, which is good for a BTTSES pick. Bristol Rovers derby in the same league. Bristol Rovers have had over 80% of their home games this season go BTTS. They have only kept one clean sheet at the Mem of 17 games, but they've only failed to score in two of them. Derby, one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in the division. But I think Chris Martin, in particular, can cause them some problems. And I'm sure that Derby will cause Rovers problems, particularly Mendes Lang. And another one in League One, Reading against Wickham. Just kind of how I see these two teams at the moment and the way that their styles have developed over the course of the season. I see them both being certainly at their best level so far going forward, Reading and Wickham. And neither of them I see as teams who are likely to approach this game with a hugely defensive mindset. I don't see that being the case for either Sellers or Matt Bloomfield. Both of them have had 5 of their last 8 go BTTS, so it's not particularly strong numbers, but some of the goal tallies in the games have been quite high when they've got going. So my three are Reading, Wickham, Bristol Rovers against Derby, and Oxford against Cheltenham. And your three are Southampton, Sunderland, Norwich, Rotherham, and Forest Green, Walsall, the sixfold. 38.14, 37-1. That's a bit of fun. George, recap your selections and then we'll say goodbye.
My selections are Bradford at 6-5 away, Accrington is my nap. Lincoln Jorno bet at 15-8 at Barnsley is my next best. Adil Al-Shish at 11-2 anytime. Sunderland at Saints is my goal scorer. Fleetwood 9-2 at Stevenage is my long shot. And then you to say yours.
Bolton and over 1.5 goals, 6-4. With the Betfair Sportsbook. Next best, Leighton Orient to beat Wigan at 2.45. Robert Apter of Tranmere Rovers, 6-1 anytime, 0.75. 2 or more at 70-1, 0.25. And my long shot, as I drop my pen, as is tradition, Blackburn 0, Plymouth 1 at 14-1. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Betfair for sponsoring this show. We are loving the run-in as it begins. It's all happening in the EFL, and it's time for me to say thanks and goodbye, and go well.